call this board meeting to order. Would everybody please stand and do the pledge allegiance with me?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you.
Mr. President, do you want to mention today's date for the recording?
Oh, I forgot about that. Meeting today is September 10th, 2025. All right, roll call, please.
Okay, Nancy Oxenholt?
Here.
Tim Beatty?
Here.
Eric Creighton?
Here.
Jerry Warner?
Here.
And Dan Drayton?
Here.
Chief, were there any public comments received by phone or email other than the cards and letters that we already passed around?
No, sir, not just those.
Thank you. Okay. Board minutes, 8/13/2025, any review or discussion on those? If nobody has anything, then I'm looking for a motion to approve.
So moved.
Second.
So Jerry and Dan?
Roll call, please.
We have Nancy Oxenholt?
Yes.
Tim Beatty?
Yes.
Eric Creighton?
Yes.
Jerry Warner?
Yes.
And Dan Drayton?
Yes.
All right, monthly financials. Has the Secretary of Treasury reviewed the banking reconciliations?
Yes, I have.
Thank you, Nancy.
And all questions were answered in a positive.
Yes, he did, and I called him because I had some questions and they were answered.
Called me at 10 o'clock last night.
It was not.
All right, QuickBooks audit report. We did not see one in our board packet.
No, it's not due till the October meeting, so.
So do we actually have to have it on our agenda or?
Not, just quarterly. I would make sure that just is on agenda item quarterly, not every month.
Okay.
And that's where we're picking one or two programs.
Correct. Okay, then moving down to monthly financial report. Any review or discussion on the monthly financials?
We're 16.6% into our budget year, so anything that sticks out that is pretty high on there. So I think page two, you see ambulance collections. They've been doing really well as far as collecting that money for us. That's kind of a lot of it's left over from last year. So we have in the bank 58% of our general fund resources needed. We haven't even started collecting taxes yet. So that's gonna take care of that. The other things that are high in here, page three, ambulance supplemental coverage, because we pay that once a year, so that comes out up front. Temporary employees, you'll see they're at 30% because that's right up front with those guys. This is their last weekend that they'll be working. Overtime costs on page four, high because of the conflagrations we've been on. That'll come down when that money comes in and we'll resolution and put that thing in. Same thing with PERS. The HRA BIBA is a twice a year payment, so that's why you see the almost 50% that's been taken out of that. Same thing with workers' comp insurance. That's a once a year that we take that out. Just on a side note with workers' comp, we just got our audit finished from last year and we're actually getting a refund back from SAFE. For a few $1,000. I don't know exactly what that is, but Dorothy's been working on that.
About $4,000 we just got in the mail today.
You got it in the mail today?
Yeah.
I didn't see the mail. You just hide those checks.
You'll see it on the voucher.
Okay.
That could be my salary.
Other things a little higher, so software programs, we pay for a lot of those up front on page five. On page seven, you'll see that this station here, we've already spent 56% of our budget. The D-Lake station, 48% of our budget for what we have, just because we had some maintenance items come up. And then apparatus fuel, I was kind of expecting fuel prices to come down, but I was hoping, so we're a little bit high on that. Radios, communications, that kind of stuff came out, some stuff we bought early on. Page nine is the big one. So you look down at Page 9, under total public safety expenditures for the year, we're at 12.4%, again at 16.6% of the year. So we're under our amount that we would be at about 4%. So
okay.
That's all I got. Do they have any specific questions I can answer?
All right. No other further discussion. I'm looking for a motion to approve the financial report.
So moved.
Jerry, how about a second?
Second.
Thank you, Nancy. Roll call, please.
Nancy Oxenholt?
Yes.
Tim Beatty?
Yes.
Eric Creighton?
Yes.
Jerry Warner?
Yes.
Dan Drayton?
Yes.
Okay. Moving on down to budget. Item 1, fiscal year 2024-2025 ending financials.
But I had Kathy print this out and we added it. This is our year-end financial report that has gone to the auditors. And so you can see in all the highlighted ones what percentage of the budget had been used on different things. When things went over budget or under budget, you can tell. So obviously if it's over that 100%, we used a little bit more than we should have under that. So again, this is the final, everything's closed, all the bills for last fiscal year have been paid, and it's usually something that we make sure that the board of directors sees. Not that we can change anything, but again, I think, again, the important one is if you look, and they don't have page numbers on here, but you look at the back page where, not the very back page, but it says public safety expenditures. So we spent 85.77% of our budget. So we were 14% below spending every dime we had allocated out in the budget. And that just goes to show how we are doing our best to save money around here and put in that savings account so we can buy a $2 million ladder truck coming up. Dave's gonna correct 2.1.
Good job.
Yeah.
That went up $1 million.
No.
Changes by the month.
If there's any questions, I can try and answer on that. Kathy did put some stuff in writing on there on the last couple of pages.
Mm-hmm.
Some stuff in red that tells you how much is actually in the different general fund, capital fund.
I haven't seen it in here, but I was going to ask a question. When you receive your money, do you have short-term investments? Do you use a pool like the city
Yes.
does to put their money in? They usually get 2-3%.
Yeah, we use the local government, LGIP, local government
Okay.
investment pool for the state of Oregon, and it pays, you know, what
whatever the going rate,
is.
Okay.
I think it just dropped again. I think it's at 3.75 right
Pretty
now.
Good.
Yeah. And so that's why you can see on our interest makes we kind of
so
guess a little bit low, but we've really the last couple of years been knocking it out of the park with interest that we've been paying.
Yeah. Okay. I'm just curious.
No, I just want to thank you, the administrative staff as a whole. So thank you. Very good job. And appreciate it. When the budget came in, that was really good.
Yep.
Sure. So thank you.
And I did win the bet with Kathy. Our ending fund balance was more than she thought.
Did
so she
owes
me a pound of bacon. But she's going to the Dalles. Apparently, turn the recording on. But in the Dalles, at the hospital of the Dalles, is the best bacon she's ever had. She's going to the Dalles for some reason. She's going to the hospital to get bacon from the hospital to bring me. I'm not going to visit a patient. I'm just going to the cafeteria for some bacon. I'll be back in a minute.
All right. Does anybody have any further on the financial report from last year, budget?
No,
all
thanks
right.
for putting it in there, though.
No.
Yeah.
Moving down to new business. Item 1, review policy 3.1, duty of the presidents. Need any review or discussion on that? Chief, do you have anything on that?
So these were last reviewed in 2019. We like to refresh them every opportunity we can because we were making some substantial changes to the duty of the treasurer. It was easy to look at the other two. So as you can see in 3.1, there's been no changes unless the board sees anything they'd like to change on the duties of the president.
Looks good.
discussion on that? Need a motion to approve item number one.
Make a motion.
Second.
Nancy and Eric.
Roll call, please.
Nancy Oxenholt?
Yes.
Tim Beatty?
Yes.
Eric Creighton?
Yes.
Jerry Warner?
Yes.
Dan Drayton?
Yes.
Okay, moving down to item two, review policy 3.2, duties of the vice president.
So we lined out something that just looked like it was repetitive in there. I don't know, it was just kind of bizarre the way that was written. So, in the president's absence or during any absence of the president. Is that the same thing?
Uh-huh.
So, kind of cleaned up the language, that's all.
Okay, any more discussion on that? Anybody changes to that policy? Okay. Looking for a motion to approve.
So moved.
Go for a second.
Second.
Okay, thank you guys. Roll call, please.
Nancy Oxenholt?
Yes.
Tim Beatty?
Yes.
Eric Creighton?
Yes.
Jerry Warner?
Yep.
Dan Drayton?
Yes.
Okay, moving down to item number three. Review policy 3.3, the duties of the secretary treasurer.
Wow.
Yeah, we've removed several duties from the treasurer.
Whoa!
Because
how
it's
many
now,
pages are there?
The statements are electronic, and so she won't have anything that's unopened. So what the district does and Kathy does or Krista will forward you the bank statements, and then you'll verify those for the following. We don't write checks, so again, mm-hmm. to control employees, that's anybody who's a district employee, you would check those to make sure they're proper. And then you'll contact the district's accountant prior to the board meeting at 4, when that's finished, and you'll provide those statements at the monthly meeting. If there's any issues, you deal directly with Kathy on that. So those are the changes on that. We've lessened a few of your duties, just so you know.
Any more discussion on that, or does anybody have any questions on that?
Those electronic statements are going to fly with the auditors.
Yes.
I thought we had to have paper ones.
We end up.
So are we talking these ones?
Yeah. They get printed out for us. We get them electronically and we print them out. So they're paper.
Yeah, but I want paper. I'm not going to look on the computer. Paper is easier for me.
I'll just make sure they're printed for you.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. And then do you sign and date them? And then
mm-hmm.
Okay.
And then we'll keep those because they're signed and dated and they'll be available for the auditors to look at. You won't just throw your signature away.
And they'll be scanned electronically as well.
Perfect. Yeah, I'm looking for a motion to approve.
So moved.
Second.
Sherry and Kurt.
Roll call, please.
Hey, Nancy Oxenholt.
Yes.
Tim Beatty.
Yes.
Eric Creighton.
Yes.
Jerry Warner.
Yep.
Dan Drayton.
Yes.
All right. Move down to item number four. Review policy 6.4, accounting practices. Chief?
So this again comes in line with what we're actually doing. Policies 6.1, 2, 3, and 4 were initiated last year. We used to have what's called a walkthrough that we would hand the auditors so they would see how we do business. So we changed 6.4, again under reconciliation and LGIP account access, and then the final page on the quarterly audit to reflect what we actually do, because we, again, under we don't receive physical bank statements. They come electronic. They're available when the bank says they're available, usually by the end of the month. And so they don't come in envelopes. The accountant reviews them. And then, again, it's looked at and then they get sent off to Nancy. LGIP account. So we looked at who has access. Kathy looked at who has access to LGIP. And she said that's not what we're doing. So we changed that so that board members have view only access. The board treasurer does have access to make transfers in and out of the LGIP account, along with Kathy and Dorothy have that for policy. So they're the only three that can They're the only three that can actually go into. And everybody else has view-only access, as all other employees here, we have view-only access. I did send out an email to you guys on the first about if you wanted to, if you want access to the view-only side in QuickBooks, that Kathy will set that up for you. So if you, so just let me know, and I said just hit back reply all, so that Kathy, because it came from, so it'll respond right back to Kathy, and won't just have to come through me, so it'll direct it to her. Anyways, so that's the LGIP, who has access to make treasure, or make transfers, and then page five in here, about the quarterly audit that we just discussed. I talked specifically with Kathy about this to make sure that what we're saying here we can do, and she says yes. So the reports are reviewed by the Secretary Treasurer and will be forwarded on to the Office Administrator for inclusion into the board packet. So when that's done, you guys just don't get them, hey, the day of the board meeting, and you say, well, I got to review these, so you'll have them when you get your board packet so that you can review and bring any questions back to the treasurer or to myself. So those are the changes that were in there.
Perfect.
I have an informational question.
Yes.
Reading in here, revenue from Tillamook County out there at the Cascade Head. Mm-hmm. That's a private water system. Do they have hydrants out there?
Yes, they do.
Okay.
Yep, they're pretty hot hydrants too. They are pretty good. If you have any changes you want to this last policy or anything, language, anything that needs to be.
Okay, looking for a motion to approve item number four, the review policy 6.4, accounting practices.
So moved.
Thank
you. I'll second it.
Thank you, Jerry. All right, a roll call, please.
Nancy Oxenholt?
Yes.
Tim Beatty?
Yes.
Eric Creighton?
Yes.
Jerry Warner?
Yes.
Dan Drayton.
Yes.
All right. Looking, let's see, let's move down to,
Safety
Committee. Local Union 5169 report.
Did not receive a report for 5169.
Okay.
I will say that we did meet yesterday. So in their contract, they have a labor management committee. And so Chief Bickerdike and I met with one of their e-board members and another member and sat down. And finally, after a year and a half, we're there to build relationships and talk about issues. They don't get to talk about contractual changes, but we can have explanations back and forth about what the interpretation of certain portions of the contract are. And dispel rumors, just talk about general things that are going on. We did do this meeting yesterday.
Great. That's good to hear.
Yeah.
So, thank you.
But no specific report from them,
no, sir. Okay. All right. Moving down to committee and staff reports.
Safety committee meeting minutes are in there for you. If you have any questions, we can answer. Because both Deputy Chief Height and Bickerdike were at the meeting.
So I have a question. So
yes.
In their work, their contracts, mm-hmm. It says that they can transport, right? And
yes.
They can do transports and all that.
They in their contract, it says that they, if they come in off duty to do a transfer, they get double time.
Okay.
So transfers were discussed during the contractual negotiations, yes.
Okay.
So the section you see in there about new business, again, mm-hmm. it was brought up. That was part of the discussion yesterday that we had with them, how it got brought up and why. They brought it up to the safety committee. The safety committee chairman determined that this was not a safety issue, that it was a operational issue, and it shouldn't have come before the safety committee. But we did talk to them, and they talked about fatigue. The district has a very specific policy on fatigue. Mm-hmm. If you've been working too long and you're too tired to work, you're supposed to notify your captain or a chief officer, and we will take you offline. Not just because you can't drive an ambulance because you have an allergy to ambulances, but maybe you are too fatigued to go to a fire. Maybe you're too fatigued to go on a water rescue call. You're too fatigued to work. And so we have a policy that says you will be taken off work. So then that leads to how do we handle that? And that's what the other discussion. If I have somebody who lives in town, I'll drive you home and you can sleep in your own bed, right? We have people that live an hour and a half, 2 hours away. I can't say that you're fatigued. You come to me and say you're too fatigued. We'll go home and then we put them in a car and let them drive 2 hours to go home. That's not gonna work. So we'll have to find a way to get that person home, find a relative to come pick them up, whatever it takes.
Why couldn't they sleep, but?
Well, so they sleep here, but people are here, lights are going off, calls are coming in, so you know the speakers go off. They're not gonna get good sleep. If they're that fatigued, we want them to go to a quiet place and recuperate. That's what needs to happen. So.
I remember them doing 32 calls one day. Nobody complained.
Next report you have there is from Chief Height. If you have any questions for Chief Height on his coming up here. Would you just like to also note that we do have the preparedness fair that's coming up here on this Saturday. You can make it down to Taft from 2 to noon to 2. Get a hamburger from Northwest Natural.
11 to 2.
I'm not sure.
Thank you for posting on Facebook already about the fire this morning. That was very informative.
Any questions for Chief Ike? Okay, Chief Bickerdike, his report's in there, the drills we're doing. I think the other thing that I need to commend him on and Bob Shorter too are the car donations that we're getting and the amount of, I mean, we're racking in 3 or 4. Don't point at Cody, he's not doing anything.
Thank you.
This is all Dave's doing. He gets the phone calls, he has to make those connections. He has to get clear titles from people. And then if it's not running, then he and Bob go down there with a flatbed and pick them up wherever they are and bring them in. And then once they get destroyed for training, Dave's got connections where they come pick up the scrap metal and it's cleaned up. So
do we have a flatbed or someone else?
So Mr. Schroeder has a flatbed trailer that he allows to use. You're smiling over there, is that? There's a group of trailers people borrow around here, so.
And they all end up at Schroeder's.
I point at Chief Height because he was the one that initiated the social media campaign that got people to start calling. Mm-hmm. So
that's cool. Awesome.
If it wasn't for his campaign, I wouldn't be getting the calls.
And that's we poached vehicles from Depot Bay.
Newport.
Yeah, we'll call them up and say, hey, we got it. They're donating vehicles. If those guys want them, they should have a robust training program as we have. That would be better. Any questions?
Thank you, guys.
Yeah. Next is my report. So you can see the number of ambulance transports we did. 10, again, 7 of those 10 were under facilities. The amount of money we received. We're sending 2 people to collections from last year. And so they've made it through the complete process with tactical billing because they're like, yeah, we're done. These people go to collections. There's 2 more slated to probably come to that. Notable money is received that we have there. Equipment maintenance, so brush 16, the 6.0 is back working. Oil, high pressure oil pump, fuel system parts, that cost us $4,800 along with the money we spent last year on new heads. The 09 Pierce also, it says it's still at the Cummins shop. It did arrive back here just a few hours ago. So that's out in the bay out there. They'll be putting equipment on it and it'll be put back in service tomorrow and it'll go down to station 16 and be the first out engine down there. And then the estimate for the repairs was 36. Bo said we probably have it in an email how much that was, but we're expecting $36,000.
Jeez.
Yep, and so they had to replace heads, do some cylinder work, and it all comes from what they've told us is the fuel doesn't get burned off enough because it doesn't heat up the motor, and guys are not pushing the high idle button when it goes and idles out there, and it's creating a buildup of carbon and buildup of fuel in the heads, and that's what the issue is. Mm-hmm. And so it's a constant training issue with everybody. to when you get out of the vehicle, you push the high idle button because it automatically doesn't go into high idle. Now, we spent the same, well, we didn't spend the same, what was 142? $22,000 to have that one repaired a year ago. So now we have this one. These are both 09 Pierces. So they were here during the volunteer days and now with the career staff that's on there. Same thing can happen with those new engines that we bought too. It's a training issue, and as soon as we can't figure out it's a training issue, we're going to be taking other actions to make sure that this happens. We cannot afford to spend $36,000 on engines to get them repaired.
Absolutely not.
Not going to happen. So.
Those new engines have a DEF system on them?
Yes.
And do they automatically go into regen mode?
Yes, they do. And so did the old ones. So when you get out to pump, you're supposed to reach down and push that button that it won't go into regen while you're using it on a fire seat. Because if it goes into regen, your pump's not going to be, the RPMs on the motor are going to affect how your pump goes. So you have to push that button too. We have a training issue. We're gonna fix it, I guarantee you. Garage door openers, station 16, we've got two of those replaced. They're still waiting for the other ones. As you know, the roof replacement is underway. Well, okay, the other one, station 16, garage door panels. Vehicle got backed into, wiped out two of the bottom panels on that. Still waiting for those to come in. That's a $12,000 bill. That got turned into our insurance company. Because it was us hitting our own building, there's a $2,000 deductible, but they'll pay $10,000 of that. Roof replacement at station 13 is underway. I know that Tim's gone out there a couple times. I've been out there a couple times. Did you go out? So they've had to do they found a lot of rock. They found fascia boards, barge rafters on the front, a lot of stuff in the back. Did they finally get all that one side all peeled off? They should be ready to start nailing shingles down. Yesterday they were close. They've had to replace put a lot of plywood over the skip sheeting that was on there. It wasn't really skip sheeting, it was tight together. But Bob went up there with the guy and they found a lot of rot. And so they've covered that with 3/8 plywood and it's got a very good base. I think this roof will last quite a long time. So.
And that's what we had thought.
Yes, we knew there was going to be some, but we didn't know it was going to be to the extent that it was, just because when they pulled everything off, they could see the other issues. And the fact that they said, you could put it over the top of that, but with asphalt shingles, you're going to see every little bump and everything is just not going to look professional or good.
Correct.
So they've taken care of all that.
And what was the name of that group?
Eagle Point Roofing.
It's gone over top of skip sheeting already.
Yep. You can see our alarm responses on there. So there's an increase last year. We're actually up 2.6 from year to year. So there's at the back page there, we'll talk about the alarm responses. So high acuity calls, I like to put those in there. So we had a possible motel fire that ended up being a plastic chair too close to the fireplace that they had put in there. We had a pretty significant water rescue at Dee River. The water rescue team is going over some additional training to take care of that. There was five of us that went to a conflagration, the flat fire over near Sisters, Oregon. Cody and I went along with Captain Maestas, Sam Hockett, and Jonathan Leighton. And so we billed OSFM $134,000 for that. They very likely had a CPR save on B shift. We got a note from the Pacific West Ambulance paramedic who was there, who just went on and on. In fact, is that the one that was put in here? No.
We didn't see that one.
So about how the team, not only us, but the police department and them, how everything just, the stars aligned. This guy got taken to Corvallis and he's up and will probably be walking out of the hospital with this.
Wow.
As soon as we know that he walks out, we have some EMS challenge coins for outstanding work that we'll give to our guys. I made sure that Lieutenant Henderson at the police department knew so he could research which one of his guys were on there to make sure that everybody gets recognition for something like this. You know, you can get a pulse back, cardiac arrest, get them to the hospital, and you know, that's only part of the battle. Getting them to walk out of the hospital is the big one on that.
So did Torin get ahold of one of you guys about training?
I emailed him and I haven't heard anything.
Okay.
Yep.
Okay.
There's a motorcycle crash on Highway 229, a significant injury to the rider. We had a pretty high-profile gas leak on 101 at North 35th that I think, did you guys figure out it was the mowing that hit the...
So it was caused by ODOT going through and cleaning the ditches and damaged our pipe but didn't let us know. And then the mower, city mower, went through there and struck the gas line.
Yep.
That was pulled up and damaged from ODOT.
So.
And that was a quick fix also, because it was right across the street. You guys did a great job.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Proud of you.
Mm-hmm.
And again, that's one of those efforts. The police department, closing down Highway 101 is no small feat.
Everybody did an outstanding job.
Yeah, trying to get people routed around, especially large trucks getting routed around. The police department does it. Put out fire protection, you guys come in and clamp it down.
A large truck and then took down the power wire.
Yeah, may have. Auto pedestrian on the Siletz River Bridge, we were out there for several hours, so what happened was cars driving northbound on 101 and a guy just walks out wearing all black and gets hit. And we were pretty confident that he was not going to make it. I don't know the follow-up on that, but he was flown out once we got him to the hospital.
He so was back in town not too many days later.
Is he back?
Yeah.
Wow. Shocking. Okay.
No, I'm talking days, not weeks. Days.
Wow. Okay.
His paint lines look very bad. You can see him down there.
Oh, he got hit at highway speed.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. And they left the shoe in the circle there for several days.
Yeah.
As a reminder, don't do that.
Yeah.
Knock him right out of his shoes.
Yep.
Yeah.
There you go. Had a house fire this morning that we'll have a report on next month in our reports for that. But if you want, Dave was the incident commander there. If you want to know anything about it today, you can elaborate.
Good response. 5 minutes.
Yeah, I responded from the middle of town. Just kind of right place, right time kind of a thing. Engine 16 was, myself and Engine 16 approached the 32nd Street intersection at the same time. I held all the traffic back and let them go on in. And they assigned me to command, and they went in and did a transitional attack and got to work. So
great job.
All of our crews did a great job. Depot Bay came up, and they helped out a tremendous amount. It was a smooth operation.
It could have been really bad. It was an old house, so it wouldn't have took long to
go
up. So we had four engines there, three of ours, so our two paid engines, volunteer engine, Depot Bay's engine. Cody brought the ladder truck. Chief Greeley from Depot Bay took over the operations, and Dave was incident commander. I know that Al came in and was ready to set up rehab. I don't think you had it set up.
We didn't set up rehab. The crews weren't fatigued, so Chief Greeley said that it wasn't necessary.
Petite,
yes.
I love that word.
So I suppose it knocked down.
Good job.
They got a pretty decent knockdown on it. What they did was they not only were focused on knocking down the fire, but they also said, hey, we can do a lot of good here in protecting property. And so they were moving furniture and getting everything out of the way while they were doing
good
it.
Good job.
So they were doing a good job of balancing priorities.
They got the gas shut off. The guys were just top notch.
Yep. Did a good job.
Good as well.
That's good.
Accounting audit, so again, everything's closed. We have our in-person meeting on October 18th, so I think that...
September. Oh, it's September?
October. Yeah.
Yes, September 18th.
I have an October. That's like in a week.
Oh, too bad you didn't correct that before it went out.
Right. I'll start proofreading your report for you.
Well, you should be proofreading everything. That's your job.
No.
You see where everything else seems to be.
Nice.
Okay.
Everything but proofreading.
Coming up next week, yeah. Point out every other mistake I make. What's this one?
Nice.
Again, Nancy and Tim are usually there, president and treasurer there, so that they can have a final meeting with the auditors and they can see how we're coming out. New IT provider. So we signed a contract today with a Fast Tech Solutions. They're going to be replacing GenX as our IT service provider. It should be a pretty seamless changeover. We'll still be using Microsoft Office and all those things that are going to be in there. And this comes from back when we had the ID breach, and our insurance provider and the attorney that was working with it after the forensic evaluations told us this was the most egregious lack of security they had ever seen within a system. And so we've been dodging that bullet for the past year and a half now. We've had several ideas and proposals forward for changing IT providers, none of which were really going to pan out very well cost effectively. I met with the owner of this company at the Chiefs conference this last year. He has deep rooted in Lincoln City. He went to D. Lake grade school as a child and grew up here. And so his company is based out of Vancouver. He's actually the mayor of La Center, Washington. And he has a couple of customers here in Lincoln City as it is. I know that CarCare is one of his customers. He handles all their IT and computers and stuff that they do. So price-wise, there were three different pricing levels, you know, the bronze, silver, the gold package. I picked the mid-range one just because of the accessibility to a help desk 24/7 that doesn't cost us anything. Otherwise, it can get expensive if we have issues. So it's going to be $2,600 a month, almost $2,700, and that's about $600 more a month than we're currently paying. However, the security side of things is going to could save us thousands, hundreds of thousands of dollars.
$183,000.
Yeah, whatever you transferred over, I don't know. Anyway, the contract was signed today. They're not new to fire departments. Their biggest client is Clackamas County Fire, and so they're very well aware of how, you know, we're looking at putting more security when people log into their computers and doing double authentication stuff. And so now the union guys have, well, I've got to get an authenticator on my phone. You got to pay for my phone. So he's worked through all that with Clackamas Fire. We'll be doing the same thing here with our folks as to, we have duty officer phones. They'll have to get the authenticator off the duty officer phone, those kinds of things. One of the first things they're going to do is come in here and just assess what we have. So he's got a complete list of where all of our computers are, how old they are. He's going to look in and come up with a replacement plan so we can forecast out for next year and the year after that certain computers we need to put budgeted money in to replace computers. The same thing with, he's going to look at our server that we have right now and see how that's working. So there's going to be a lot of front end work before they actually take it over, I think it's going to be to our advantage to have these guys here.
They're going to take our computers at some point and redo.
They'll remote into the ones that they need to, so they don't have to take anything. They will be on site to look at some stuff, and part of the program was the five board member laptops would be included in that we'll take care of package. So we have, I think there's 22 separate computers that are all on the server and that they would be taken care of. We have some standalone computers. Mm-hmm. The one at station 13, the one at station 12, those are standalone computers. They're not part of our network. They can log in to, so our report system, ImageTrend, is web-based. They log in on that and do it, but they're not, the data that they have there is not being saved on our server. Anyway, that's moving forward. We'll see that happen within the, now that it's signed, I bet they're down here within the next week and a half. Personnel hiring, again, two full-time on probation. We have four volunteers that are doing that temporary position. That will end this weekend. This is their last weekend that we'll be utilizing them. And then they'll go back to just straight volunteer positions. Five volunteers, first year training. We have three potential volunteers in background that are doing backgrounds right now. I know the status of them, they can tell you, but getting ready to do physicals, finishing their last visit, those kinds of things. And they're not water rescue volunteers. I think all three of these are to be firefighters. We had an influx of water rescue guys.
Were these the young kids that were?
No. One guy works for ODOT.
Yeah.
He's a kind of an old, mid-thirties kind of guy.
Yeah. Otis Rose Lodge or?
He lives here in town.
Lives here in town, yeah.
Yeah, he lives on North 36th.
We got one gentleman that is, he wants to be primarily a support role, and he's out in the Rose Lodge area. We've got the gentleman that works for ODOT that lives here in town, and then we have Megan Height, who also is gonna be volunteering for us, so.
And wherever they move.
Otis Rose Lodge.
Whenever they move.
I said no.
So, actually, Al Longworth came in to me yesterday and was talking about people out in Rose Lodge. He's got two people out there that are gonna be, one of them, apparently Jerry Sneed's buying a house out there. And.
He put an offer in, you know.
Yeah.
He got some.
So Jerry's, even as a career person, he lives right by Station 15, and, you know, for instance, he runs, like today, he went down there for the house fire. And so he comes in when he needs to, and it would be an advantage to have him out there. So anyway, Al was pretty excited that he was gonna have a few more folks out there. Next, so that's our district motto. I think we could, instead of community focus, we fell on focused. It was a grammar thing.
It's the correct grammar, I Googled it.
Yeah, okay. Google's helping us out.
Brought up by one of our probationary firefighters.
Yeah, Seth Seedling said, it should be this, so.
Yeah.
Informational stuff, so backyard burning is still closed. We're still getting people that violated. Backyard burning should open again on October 15th, so that's our opening date that the County Fire Defense Board settled on, so October 15th. Tomorrow's the stair climb event at Shook Winds. That's a union district type of function. Preparedness fair we already talked about. We posted the administrative assistant job position. It closes on October 10th. How many apps have you got, Krista?
Like 25.
25 now.
Well, I've received 25 resumes.
Yeah. So they can't read that you're supposed to fill out an application with your resume. So if you just send the resume, you're automatically a no. You can't read enough to say, uh-huh, fill out your application. That's great. Thanks for the resume. AFG grant, nothing yet. So we do have the ODF equipment grant that we can be able to start purchasing on at the end of September here. Water Rescue is increasing their standards quite a bit. We've had some discussion about that. This year, again, we're helping Corvallis Fire provide EMS at OSU games. They've done two so far. We've sent two paramedics each time. Corvallis Fire sends us a check back pretty quickly once we send those in, so we lump both together. They actually wanted us to send an ambulance last time, this last Saturday, and we just couldn't get the staffing up for that to get an ambulance over there.
I thought that's what was going over there.
No, these guys are just going, they're taking their private vehicles and they show up, or if they live in town, they get a district vehicle to drive over.
Oh.
So they show up, they meet at Station 1 downtown, they're given their assignments, they already know their assignments. They go to the stadium, they have a whole EMS room at the stadium. They're divided up into groups, they're given backpacks, would have all sorts of equipment and AEDs on them, and then they're sent out to their certain areas and they walk around and they're in radio communication with law enforcement and everybody else. If somebody passes out or has an issue, they'll do that. So Lane Fire Authority sent an ambulance. They only had two ambulances. One was on the field, it's dedicated to the field and to the players. The other one, Lane Fire Authority, that's the one that was outside. They were looking for a second one. Their second ambulance was from Albany Fire, responding from Albany. They wouldn't set it at the game. So, and then their third ambulance was coming from Independence, from County Fire. So that's quite a ways to get there to OSU. Our apparatus work group met, so Tim and Eric and Dave Cody and I, we met and we had some discussion about, we're updating our deployment plan and our replacement. We're still working pretty closely with Pacific West Ambulance and we need to update our agreement as far as when we and how we and all that kind of stuff. I did send her some information 2 days ago that they requested for how many transports we did, how many were in our facility, how many times we stood by for them, and on those standbys, how many turned into transports or other things like that. So they've got some additional information. A couple other things that are on here that I didn't put on here. So as you know, this is 5 year anniversary of Echo Mountain Fire. So 5 years ago, we were busy working up there. I didn't see a lot of stuff out on, you know, social media. Last couple of years, we see a lot of things that people who live out there put out, but there's not a whole lot this year. Another thing that we're dealing with that's just come up is the city has proposed a crosswalk out in front of our fire station. And they have proposed, have three different proposals going to ODOT. Each one of these has a center refuge area. In other words, sidewalk around there, all that kind of stuff. Two of those proposals, our ladder truck would have to, if it was turning north, would have to pull out, back up, and then turn again to make the corner around their refuge site. The other one out front here, that's on the south end, is just gonna create a mass amount of confusion. Now, if they remove those refuges in the center of the roadway and just stripe a crosswalk in and put your flashing lights on each side, it's not gonna cause us an issue. But for some reason, they wanna have this center refuge thing. I sent my comments back to the city. This just came the other day. I sent my comments back to the city. The same comments I sent them 2 years ago when they initially proposed this. And I also contacted Oregon Department of Transportation, and he says, yeah, I just got the email too. And they didn't send me any drawings. And I said, hey, if you wanna meet with us, send me the drawings so we have something to talk about. I'm not gonna drive all the way to Lincoln City and say, yeah, here are our drawings. I wanna see them in advance. So I think that, and then his other comment was, have you talked to the fire department? Because you're putting stuff right in front of their fire station. And so miraculously, I get an email that afternoon, that morning. So
why couldn't they put it across, like where the school site is?
So
that would not.
The one rule that they have is one crosswalk can't be within 600 feet of another crosswalk. So I don't know if signal down here, where's 600 feet? That's their issue. So if it's within 600 feet, sorry. They expect people to walk the other 600 feet, go down the road and cross at the signal.
Because these people are crossing all the time.
Oh, yeah.
And they're like behind a truck and you don't even see them.
Oh, yeah. Yep.
Well, it's the intersection.
Why couldn't we build a bridge instead?
Like they did in Sherwood. That's a nice bridge.
We don't need a big bridge like that.
So any intersection, even if it's not marked, is a legal crossing.
Oh, I know. I know.
State of Oregon.
But if you do have a crosswalk, it prevents people from jaywalking. And what we get are people that just come out of those apartments and walk across the road.
It ain't gonna change.
I know. Anyway, so we're working on that with the city. We're gonna make sure that our voice is heard. At the end of the day, what they do is what they do. But still, the two that are proposed for the north end, one of them is like right in front of our apparatus bay. We can't even drive straight out, let alone make the left turn. Center refuge lanes are for, you know, when we come out of here and your lights and your siren are going, cars look at us. They're not looking at pedestrians, right? That's their focus. They're not going to see a pedestrian. So why are we encouraging them to cross in front of the fire station when we're pulling out? It just makes absolutely no sense. So.
Did you talk to Stephanie at all? I'll give Stephanie a call.
Not gonna help. This is Daniel Wentz who's doing this. He's their engineering guy. So anyway, again, we started the discussion with ODOT to make sure that they are. I didn't. What the city's email said is, oh, send us your concerns. Well, yeah, you're probably not gonna relay our concerns to ODOT. I'm gonna go right to ODOT. And I talked to him, he goes, absolutely, send them to me. So anyway, I sent them to that guy. So that's all I got on my report. Talk about crosswalks.
Doesn't your son work for ODOT?
He does, but he's in Region 1, not in Region 2.
Okay, thank you, Chief. All right, let's move down to upcoming district board member activities. We have a preparedness fair, Station 16, this Saturday, the 13th. SDAO Board Regional Training, September 24th. Is that something, Chris, that we have to?
No, that's the one that Jerry's going to be attending.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Fire Prevention Week, Open House, Station 16, October 10th.
Cindy's blown the budget.
Actually, the plan is, I have to talk with Captain Schroeder, but I think TAF 712's culinary kids are gonna also do something for that.
Thank you. All right, anybody have anything good to the order? I only have one thing, Taft football's first home game is this Friday night at 7 o'clock.
Sisters.
Against Sweet Home.
Sisters.
Sisters.
Or Sisters.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. They won their first game.
I will be there.
We will be there too.
Wow, wonderful.
I won't be there.
And call for public comment on non-agenda items. I don't hear none, and I don't see anybody here, so looking for a motion to close the meeting.
So moved.
How about a second?
Second.
Eric, thank you. Roll call, please.
Nancy Oxenholt?
Yes.
Tim Beatty?
Yes.
Eric Creighton?
Yes.
Jerry Warner?
Yep.